Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, good evening, everybody. We have got a extra summer dapper dandy Lionel with us tonight. Look at him with the, what's that called in the collar?
That would be either a boutonniere or some type of a floral arrangement or a lapel pin or an appurtenance or an accoutrement.
So, if you've just tuned in and you have not seen the news today, a note has been published by Virginia, by her brothers. Now, the media's kind of headlining it as if it is an unaliving note, but it's not an unaliving note. It's just a note to inspire other survivors and campaigners. I'm going to read that, but we also have the story of the broken neck, Virginia's broken neck story, which has just emerged today. So I'm just going to go over the highlights of this article, and then we will get Lionel's reaction. So Virginia left behind a handwritten note with a message of support for SA survivors before she died. The family revealed they found the note among her possessions at the farmhouse where her body was discovered. And her brother Sky shared an image of the note, which he believed was intended to be sent to a protest rally outside the White House in Washington today. In it, she told supporters, "We are not going to go away. Mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers need to show the battle lines are drawn and we stand together to fight for the future of victims." Is protesting the answer? I don't know. But we've got to start somewhere. And then, I mean, I'll put the note up on the screen in a minute, but let me just find you the neck break stuff. All right, before we do, her brother said, when he shared this note on social media, "Hello world, we received news today. There's a protest in Washington, D.C. We found the handwritten note that our sister Virginia wrote. I think it's important that survivors know that she's with you and her voice will not be silenced. I know that it's so important and her wish is that we continue to fight." Her words are. And that was the first post the brothers put on the Instagram. All right. So scrolling down now to the domestic violence and the broken neck situation. It says here, and
where are you reading this, sir?
This is the Daily Mail report. Okay. That came out this afternoon. Yep.
Regarding the neck. Well,
they lived in Thailand for 11 years before moving to the US, so returned to Australia, bought a $1.7 million beachside mansion. Their marriage is believed to have broke down, with Virginia moving into the farmhouse while her husband remained in Perth. And she was in the farmhouse of a 71-year-old carer and also her brothers. That's what we know. So her husband told a court, and he claimed newly released court documents reveal Virginia was living a life of misery in constant pain and needing a full-time carer in recent years. Her husband told the court that prior to their marriage breakdown, he was looking after her around the clock after she broke her neck a few years ago. No further details have been given about this injury or how it happened, but it is a known fact that he lost his driver's license, the husband, after he was caught speeding home at 147 kilometers an hour in a 100 kilometers an hour zone, and he told the court he was rushing to be by his wife's side. He is saying he himself hired the home help for his wife in the wake of his court appearance, and a most recent caregiver was behind the wheel when Virginia was involved in the minor collision with the bus that sparked the fears for her life. In fact, the carer, Cheryl Myers, has said, "She's devastated by the death. Virginia was like a daughter to me." And Virginia had been facing charges over breaching a family violence prevention order at the time of unalivement. It's believed it related to her trying to text her children. So that is all of the new news in a nutshell, Lionel.
Let me ask you question number one. This alleged broken neck happened years ago in an accident in something. This is the first time I've ever heard about that. Have you? I mean, not that I'm privy to everything. This is not the recent school bus accident. This is years prior to this, correct?
He said that the broken neck happened a couple of years before they separated.
Okay.
And he's not give a reason for the broken neck.
Now, of all the things, not a slipped disc, any kind of something involving a laminectomy or a pinched nerve, but a broken neck, C2C. I mean, this is a broken neck. That's number one. That's easily seen by virtue of x-rays or whatever, because those are hard. Did you ever, I don't know what's real and what's not. Did you ever see her in a halo? Did you ever see her, or did anybody? You see, we're hearing this. We need to be in the room with everybody there and say, anybody know about the broken neck? Nope. Okay, there goes that story. Anybody know about this? No. How long have they lived together? What were the problems? What do we know as far as why? God, I've got so many questions. Why they suspect the S word, self-dispatch or whatever. We know more, Sean, about Gene Hackman's kitchen and bathroom and the rats and the dogs and the Gene Hackman, who was 95 years old. I mean, nobody's, I mean, foul play is not suspected, but this we know nothing. If I were Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of the United States, I would send over one of my FBI agents to say, this happened to be not just any American citizen. This was the linchpin, the key witness in the biggest case of this kind in American history. And we need to find out what happened. We need to meet with Australian officials, not tread on their jurisdiction. Why do we know nothing? Broken neck, not fractured disc or broken neck. Normally, this is paralysis, death. You don't have to be a physician to know that. See, none of this. I'm standing outside, and there's all this. Think about this. There's a room with all this noise going on, and people every now and then pop out. And they'll mention something, and they go back in. You say, "Wait, what? Broken neck?" And he goes back in there. And then I was like, "Wait, separated and back in there again." At what stage was their divorce? Remember, he theoretically, one would assume, or anybody in his position would have been able to, or would have sought to benefit tremendously had the divorce not happened. If she dies, a spouse, then he has rights, like most jurisdictions, to take under the will, intestate, will or not, under statute. So this guy needs to be, and I'm not saying anything. I don't know anything about anybody. But where are the family members? Where are the brothers and sisters? Where is the concerned friend who can verify this, not verify this? Did you notice David Boies, her lawyer? The lawyer that represented her, he was almost saying, well, you know, she went through a lot of problems. Like, wait a minute. Are you saying there's nothing fishy here? You know, if all of a sudden, if God forbid, Sean, they find you with, you know, 8 bullet holes in the back of your head, I'm not going to say, well, you know, he went through a lot of stress. I was like, wait a minute. I don't want to hear about the stress. Look at the facts of the case. This thing, and a lot of people are jumping, and you know when you read the comments, oh, I know they did it. There's no way she... They offered. We don't know anything. Literally, and that's not an exaggeration, I don't know anything. I don't know where her kids are. What about the disposition of the property? Who gets it? What was there? How did she... They're making her out to be a nut. She violated the terms of the... She might have texted somebody. It might not have been adjudicated. It might have been alleged. I don't know. anything. Where are her? Where are the other brothers? Do they stand to benefit somehow from this? Why the quiet? Why are so many people not? Why are you and I more concerned, ostensibly, if you can believe any of this, than her brothers? This is driving me crazy because I know this may sound kind of corny, but it's not fair. It's not fair for her. Who speaks for her? She was saying, think about this. Two things. Did you read where she was talking about how she was going to get her house remodeled or refurbished and she was looking forward to that? Does that sound like somebody who can't wait to all of a sudden wake up and say, you know what, the hell with it? That's number one, because you look for extraneous things. Number two, they're releasing. Do they realize how stupid it is to release a letter or letters written telling victims stand tall, be strong, right before she, you know what I mean? Does that make sense to you? Do they realize what they're doing? This kills the argument. I mean, there. It seems like everybody is trying to sweep this. Well, she left a note. Wait a minute. And also another thing too. Would you please look at this, at the lettering, okay? I don't know what this means. Is this to me?
No. This is for the viewers. The viewers. YouTube. Since we started covering this case, YouTube is booting people off our lives. It's happening on every single one. So, viewers, if you do get booted off this live, just click the channel icon to rejoin it. That's what I just put on the screen where I've misspelled it. Let me just add a few things, though, Lionel. Let me add a few things then.
Yeah.
All right. So the few things are. By early 2025, Virginia and her husband had separated. Her brother and sister-in-law have said that she had separated from Robert even earlier in August 2023. Now, we also have the Dershowitz legal document that we covered yesterday, where Dershowitz is saying that Virginia was scheduled to an interview and she couldn't make the interview because she'd been beat up and bruised so badly by her husband. So that's documented in court.
Near the time of the accident? Or
no, this is from years ago. This is when she was still with her husband.
Now, could that picture, I'm sorry, that picture in the hospital, that famous picture where she looked like she was beaten up, do we ever know the provenance or the timing or the authenticity of that? Okay. To interrupt.
The other thing is, the cops spent 10 to 12 hours removing property from Virginia's farm after she was found unalived.
Why? Well, put it this way. Why in the name of God would evidence be removed? And by the way, is there anything, normally you would have some form of a document, whether a search warrant or some type of seizure documents before you go in? That is still either her property or the property of the estate. You just can't go in and grab stuff. Now, crime scene testimony seems, okay, sort of. You see, this is a part that I don't understand. Normally, everybody comes out. You have the hospital. The hospital wants to get out to say, let's go out and push our name. Why? Well, because hospitals are for-profit institutions for the most part, and they come out and they want anytime anybody, the emergency team shows up, there's a podium with the seal of the hospital, there's all these doctors standing behind. You can't get a hangnail removed if you're famous, without the hospital coming out and saying, Mr. Abbott's doing in great condition. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then there's normally the police. The police will come forward because they love it too, because they're publicity whores like anybody else. Nothing. Then you have maybe a concerned brother or somebody who picks up the phone and talks to Harvey Levin or something and says, what's going on here? Now, her brothers lived with her, right? So they all moved to Australia. Why would she? I never understood that one in the first place. And if ever there was a place, with all due respect to my Aussie friends, if ever there was a place where you had absolute crushing inability to enjoy freedom when it comes to speech and the like, and an absolutely draconian government when it comes to free speech rights, it's Australia. So you're not going to get them to do anything. You can't. I don't know what their version of the First Amendment is. So this is like radio silence since the beginning. It's now, I'm not saying this, but if somebody told me, you know, they were all threatened, that wouldn't surprise me. Or they're in it for the payoff. That wouldn't surprise me. Something. But nobody, not the police, not the hospital, not the brothers, not the friends, nobody in her various, you know how many publicists she had? You know how many people she was ready to expose something? Nobody. Nobody. And then David Boies goes on that stupid Piers Morgan. Let me tell you something. If ever you want a story to die, go to Piers Morgan. It's the worst. He's still arguing about whether Winston Churchill was a bad guy. This is how irrelevant this guy is. So it is. This went into the. This was memory hold. This was completely this form of amnesiac reaction to this. And I'm telling you, is there anybody but you? Or I'm talking about it, and I'm saying this again, please, Sean, forgive me if I'm redundant. I do this. Gene Hackman was 95 and they're acting like it's the Lindbergh kidnapping. Did you notice how messy the house was? Who cares? He was 95. He died of a heart attack. But they're acting like this is, you know, the Manson murders, you know, with it. But this, nothing. It's spooky. It's almost like somebody saying, don't even touch it. Don't get in the way of our wet work. You know what I mean? Just saying.
So we've got almost 1,500 watching across all platforms. So please subscribe to Lionel's channel and Rising. At Lionel Nation on YouTube. Links are in the description box. And regarding the Australia location. So when Virginia went to Thailand for the massage course, courtesy Maxwell and Epstein, she met Robert, and Robert was from Australia. Hence the move to Australia to extricate herself from the clutches of Maxwell and Epstein. But then when she got in all these settlements, all these settlements came in, millions and millions, you know, going back to settlements with Glenn, settlements with Epstein, then settlement with Prince Andrew. You know, the properties got more bigger, and hence she moved to this remote farm and fell out with the husband, and the husband's at a different location, I believe, in Perth.
Well, but okay. The brothers moved there. That's a bit of a hike. So he goes there. If I were, I would tell Pam Bondi, Pam, unless somebody tells her, do not get near this story. I don't know, but I'm thinking, Sean, it's at the tail end. We've been through this. What are you going to tell now? He's dead. She's, there's no blockbuster. If I hear one more person say, I want to get the travel records or the black book, we don't care that. Ethel Kennedy was on the travel records. It doesn't matter. The questions I tell you all the time is who killed him and what agency did he work for? That's it. That's the only question there is. Everything else is. And you could also say, I mean, this is a pipe dream. Where are the tapes and the recordings? Now, going back to what I said, being redundant again and repeating myself to the point of exhaustion. If I was Pam Bondi, I would go in front of the world and say, I am sending over a special agent, whatever, to Australia, and I'm sure they're going to cooperate with us. Unless Trump or somebody's picking up the phone and they're saying, don't do this. This is something that we don't know. Who knows? My counter, myself, is why now? Why is she even, or why was she allowed this long? Number two, when do the official records of the autopsy, normally these things in our country become a matter of public record, especially, you know, there's a certain amount of time. And I hope they haven't cremated her. That's a nice way to get rid of things really quick. I don't know what the story of this is. Who takes care of the kids? Was there a guardianship? I mean, what's the status? We still don't know who owns Epstein's property. We don't know anything. We don't, I mean, it's, I would just love to do a show where I tell everybody, here's what we do not know. Anybody want to answer this? Anybody want to answer this? Why now? She could have been dispatched years ago. Again, it would have been no problem. Why is there a problem now?
Can I read you what Dershowitz wrote then? So Dershowitz, this is, he was suing her for defamation, wasn't he? He was denying everything. And let me just see if I can make this bigger. Control plus, there we go. All right, so an interview with ABC had to be postponed because her husband, Virginia Roberts' husband, had beaten her up so badly that she was hospitalized and that she could not appear on television with the bruises because she didn't want to have to explain that her husband had beaten her up. And I ultimately corroborated that information as well by investigating the fact that she, in fact, filed a complaint against her husband and had been hospitalized. So everything that Rebecca told me has proved to be absolutely true and absolutely corroborated. And therefore, I believe it and believe that your clients were engaged in what I believe is an extortion plot against Leslie Wexner, conspiracy to commit extortion, in which I was a victim, as well as Leslie Wexner of being a victim. So they are the words.
And where is this from? Where is this from?
Defamation lawsuit against Virginia when it was all kicking off. When
no, but
she
I'm
first
saying
made
this document itself, this is the actual deposition, or this was a statement, or...
I'm not sure what the title of the document is, but someone provided this to me yesterday.
But it looks like it's time stamped. It looks like almost like a deposition. It's almost okay. Well, okay, fine. So the question of this remains: what do we know now? Nothing. Nothing. We don't know anything. I mean, and you can guess all day long, but unless I get to see, tell me what the scene was. Tell me what she looked like. Do you have a legitimate forensic investigator there who can look at her and check for obvious? I mean, there to see somebody in action, depending upon the state of the body, the state of rigor. We had a guy one time years ago. He would come in and he would, I don't want to go into detail, but he would take arms and squeeze right around where you would have IVs. He would squeeze to find a drop of blood. I think they found that in the Belushi case. They would do things, they were very interested at first in body temperature. Body temperature is one of the most important things. I'm not saying in this case, but this one fellow years ago had what amounted to a meat thermometer that he could immediately go internally and look at the viscera and to see what the temperature was, because you've got to find out what the time of death was. You have to look at stomach contents. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of ways to do it, because that is important. And that will then tell you to back up to say, well, who saw her last? What was her condition? How long was it before someone saw her last? Tell me what she said right before her demise. Give me her phone. Did she text anybody? Did anybody speak with her? What was she saying? Despite what people say, it is very uncommon for people not to at least show, in the case of self-harm, something along the line, depression, but also things like anhedonia, where you lose interest in family, things that you normally like to do, watch TV or go to the movies. You don't have any interest anymore in this. There is so much I want to know. And
that's her last known photo on the screen with her brothers, which was supposedly taken recently.
Now, again, I don't know. They would be the ones I want to talk to. And if I were there, the first thing I think that an FBI agent would probably be met. And I'm interested to see what kind of a pushback would I get from the Australian authorities. Because remember, there's always a jurisdictional thing. There's always a turf battle. People know it's like, how dare you? Big, you know, oh, the American thing, you know how to do everything. Well, we're not a bunch of backwaters. We're not crocodile today. Ay, crikey. You know, we don't need you to come here. Well, what have you done? Would you share this? Because we, believe it or not, the United States has, she theoretically could be a potential witness in one of our cases. So I want you to share, give me what you have on her. What was, give me, the, let me see the result. And then I'm going to have my independent person look at this. And the first thing is, show me the tox report. Now, I told you one scenario that, again, I'm never, if I tell you something, Sean, remember, I'm not going to tell you I know something. I'm going to tell you, you know, this wouldn't surprise me, or this is where I would look. But what if I told you?
Let's have a code word for that drug, like F, the F drug that kills. It's a lot more powerful than the brown drug.
I got so many goddamn codes with this show. I got to do these codes and the files of the F and the self-harm and the unlive. My, you know, I do a talk radio show on the biggest, the number one market, WABC, 50,000 watt monster. We don't have code words. All you got to do is say, don't say the F-bomb. You can say anything you want. Isn't that something? Supposedly, AM radio, which is so archaic, I can say anything. No algorithms. Nothing. Say it. This is the biggest con. Oh, we live in this freedom. Okay. Anyway. The thing about the F, the real F-bomb, people use the term overdose. It's not overdose. It's poison. Can I say that? The P word. It's poison.
Yeah.
And if it were to happen, if somebody says, well, you know, goodbye, cruel world, or she was taking something because of self-medicating as an analgesic for her neck or whatever it is, oh, well, it happens. Happens to the best of them. There are so many ways out. But here's the bottom line. I want everybody to listen to me. This is the most important. If nobody cares, nothing will come of this. I'm going to tell you a bit of an anecdote. Years ago, I represented someone who, in essence, was responsible for dispatching her husband. And the story was, I don't want to go too much into detail, but she, whatever. They were not exactly upstanding members of society. When I asked her, I said, were you arrested? She said, no. What do you mean, no? Were you charged? No. So when I talked to the police, the detective I knew, he told me, misdemeanor murder. Can I say that? I said, what's that? He said, that's where you say, eh. Now, believe me, I know there are people out there where they don't, if you find some vagrant on the street, do you think they're going to impanel a grand jury? No. They say, oh, well, you know what? What are you going to do? I'll get to that later. We have a big. Some people, they don't care about this. But the moral of the story is if nobody's looking, nobody finds out answers. And nobody will. And you know, and this country, especially America, has the attention span of a gnat. They're going to forget everything. They don't care about anything. They just, it's like 3 days of this stuff. And that's it. Do you know how many people, after we went through that C word, remember that, during that, where the mask holes, you would think this country said, well, by God, we got to get to the bottom of that. Nothing. Bobby Kennedy's talking about red dye number 3 in Fruit Loops. Wait a minute. What about such and such? You told me you were going to, oh, well, no. I said, wait a minute. And I'm saying, hey, remember when Bobby Kennedy... Yeah, I said, no, don't you remember? And he was going to go in there, and now they're making the connection between that A disease and, what about that? What about that? And then, no, he forgot about that. He's talking about red dye number 3 and peanut butter. I said, wait a minute. I don't care about peanut allergies. You see what's happening? Nobody, it never goes anywhere. Look at the nonsense, to give you an example, of the Russian-Ukrainian military action. This is such nonsense. Nobody even understands. So sometimes I think that imagine if we have a mystery like Agatha Christie and people don't even bother reading the end of the story. They just lose interest. They say, well, don't you want to find out? No, but you've devoted this much time. Yeah, I know, I'm busy. No, you're this much. I don't understand it. So people are going to be, but they love to talk about, and I don't know about you, and I know you got some great, great, oh yes, pharmacide, yes.
Let me read you the definition of pharmacide, yes, to see if this is where we are arriving with our theory here. So, the pharmacide definition, the act of unaliving someone through prescription medication, specifically through its overuse or misuse by innocent patients. Because they were increasing the stress on her, which would have probably made her want to do more meds.
They're increasing the story. Not that degree, they're increasing the storyline.
Shouldn't they have been analyzing the effects on her internals, including her kidneys and
yes, yes. Do you let me give you an example threshold. Of something? Again, people are saying, is he going off on one of his tangents? Yes, it's called an analogy. You know about Marilyn Monroe, right? Okay, Marilyn Monroe was supposedly, goodbye, cruel world. They had the amount, her blood work showed a barbiturate level that was like through the roof. And they had a pill, empty pill bottle. They found no undissolved pills in her system, in her stomach, none. And her nurse came, or her housekeeper said, pills, she couldn't swallow one. There's no way. Anyway, they believe they got her through using what amounts to a suppository version of this. All right, so they got her. There was a woman named Dorothy Kilgallen. She was about to release the information on John F. Kennedy. She was a famous investigative reporter. She was on game shows. And she was going to not only bring up the Jack Ruby thing, but the Dallas police, LBJ, everything. They found her in her New York apartment, propped up in a room she never uses, like made up. And she supposedly offed herself drinking. She didn't drink. I mean, it was so bad, but nobody cared.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Remember the case of Kid Twist Relis at the Half Moon Lodge? This was Murder Incorporated when they put him up. They put him in this room in Brooklyn. This was during the days of Albert Anastasia, Murder Incorporated. They found him. They had a police outside. They found him. They threw him. He dove out. I mean, how he did it. And they found him. Oh, well, with the police outside. And the headline was, "This Canary Can't Fly." Okay, the bottom line is simply this. Nobody cares. We had something the other day in this country where we had the JFK files. And we had a bunch of dingbat congressmen who couldn't know the difference between Oliver Stone and Roger Stone. So what I'm doing is I'm wallowing in the sea of incompetence. And unless somebody says, oh, we're not going to stop. This is, you know, we're not going to stop until we get to the bottom of this. We don't get this. We don't get this. If I can't interest you, you were old enough to remember, obviously, the OJ case. People couldn't sleep. That's all they talked about. This was true. I mean, they were investigators. People would go into bars in New York and say, hey, can you turn off the Knicks game? Can you put on the blood, would argue blood splatter? They were into it.
When he was on the freeway, that was the big one, wasn't it?
Everyone it was a Friday. It was a Friday night. It was the slow speed chase. One of the greatest oxymorons of all time. The bottom line, is that people were just, she's not there. We have too much information. I think it's either the 5G, this and that, maybe the medication, maybe that red dye number 5. Whatever this stuff is, there's no interest in it. And when I keep, and not only that, I want people to go and I want to teach them rudimentary police work. Stop talking about this stupid black book. It's irrelevant. Or the client list. It's irrelevant. That's not what you need. That's not relevant. That's not what I want. I want to know, who cares? Hey, Ethel Kennedy. I mean, Ethel Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy's mother, Robert Kennedy's wife was there. Hello? I mean, people don't get, going back to the OJ thing, you mentioned that. When OJ was in the slow speed chase, people would call me. I was on, interestingly enough, WABC at the time. And they would say, maybe Al Cowlings did it. What? Maybe his son Justin did it. What? They just threw names out there without thinking. This doesn't make any sense. So I just assume people have rudimentary connection abilities to say critical thinking. This is important. This is irrelevant. This doesn't matter. Why now? Another, and I have given up on why does, if I worked for you, if I'm the government and I say, listen, if you want her to go away, believe me, we can do it. It's so easy. It's not even funny. Do you know that when, let me explain a little background. Do you know how they really get you sometimes? In prisons, there was this thing called the black art of this, your people are going to love this, poisoning. And they call it noose on a bun. If I control your food intake, I can introduce you to little precursors, not adjuvants, but like binary. I can set you up with something. Then all of a sudden, later on, I happen to give you something else. And when the two mix, they break down, and the effects are things like potassium levels increase. But there's nothing that's found in there. It's a very, very slow thing. Do you know that when they want to really make sure you don't off yourself and you're in federal prison, they take you to an Air Force base in a particular room, and they have cameras that can pick up body temperature drops. You wear paper. You basically wear paper. There is nothing in there. You could go. There is no sharp object. There are no strings. There's no nothing. The food, believe me. Remember the Godfather, Frankie Five Angels, when he, not like that. They would have immediately pulled him away. You would have, and nobody would have known where he was. Just like with Sammy the Bull. They would take him away and then bring him in. They took him to MCC where everybody knew who he was. And they wanted to, and I'm telling you, and you know him, Tartaglione. They put Epstein in a room with a guy who was facing the death penalty and then all of a sudden didn't. What happened? He got into a beef with Epstein. I thought, these people are so sloppy. You got to bring somebody else in here. You can't have the guy that got into a fight with him, you know, break his neck. They don't care. That's the thing. Either they're incompetent, and I'm not saying he did it, but I guarantee you, in my movie, that's the first one we'd go to. And then you have these incompetent, watch them monitors. Okay, I'm asleep. God knows they probably put something in their drinks, Benadryl or whatever. They're falling asleep. They're surfing the internet, buying stuff. And they're. Did you see these? Did you see this crew? Whoa. This is what you've got the most important. It's like having Jack Ruby or Lee Harvey Oswald. You've got you've got these people watching them. I don't know. And of course, you can't say anything because, you know, you can't say anything because if you say something, well, you're a racist. But it's like, are you kidding me? This and nothing happened to them, by the way. You fell asleep. And the cameras happen to turn up. It's almost like somebody, it's like they were sitting around drinking. He says, I got an idea. Let's see how far we can throw this before they say something. Bring in the big guy. Yeah, the guy with the steroids. Put him in there. Have a fight. Nothing yet? Okay, I got a better one. Let's bring in the two idiots working the monitors. That didn't catch your attention? Okay. They fell asleep. That didn't catch your attention? How about the fact that we didn't off him someplace in France or whatever? We brought him here in the federal. That didn't work? Okay. How about if we physically, what they suggested he did either with the CPAP cord or whatever, it can't fracture a hyoid bone. You can't do it. The only way you can do it is either strangulation or sometimes in baseball or some kind of sports, somebody's clotheslined or something. I mean, it's because it's a bone, the only bone not connected to anything, it's under the mandible in the back with the thyroid cartilage, all that stuff. They didn't catch on to that? Nothing. Is there anything that we can do to get? No. You could have had somebody, hey, you got that? Me. And they say, oh, it's probably Photoshop, AI. No, I didn't. You know, it's like we, for this being such a conspiracy country, nobody believed. What do they have to do? What do they have to do? We're the only country, JFK, where Lee Harvey Oswald said, "I'm a patsy." Yeah, right. And Jack Ruby said, "Well, I wanted to take her because I didn't want Jackie to testify." She's not going to testify. What kind of, what is this? He's mobbed up. Nobody. They're still guessing. I wonder if, let's have those files. Did you get those files, Sean? Oh, here's something. Oh, look at this, JD. Here's Tippett's dentist. So not only do we have an incurious group of people, we have people who aren't logical. Just get right to the bottom of this. I can prove this case. Make it simple. Speaking of OJ, they went to that blood splatter stuff. Who cares about? I don't need all that stuff. Anyway, so, but who speaks for her? And of course, they're going to say to you, "Oh, who is it? That Atwood guy? He's a lunatic." You ever see a show? He's crazy. Why? He's always got these crazy people.
Lionel, can you do that in a Louisiana swamp dweller accent, please?
Oh, well, Louisiana said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing about that there, that Sean Atwood. He's crazy." Yeah, sometimes he gets his people on that damn show. He gets, hell, he had one woman on time. Hell, they get sued every 5 days. He's got people out there. Everybody talking. And that Diddy, have you heard him talk about Diddy? God damn, that guy's great. Jay-Z and Diddy. Hell, he's got this one woman come on. And then he gets that guy Ron in, and they start channeling that bullshit. I don't know what that's about. I have no earthly idea. When Ron comes in, it's like, time to go. He starts, and even Ron don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. Nobody's talking about. They're talking about things and pulses and quasars and getting the vibrations of, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. And the best part is, Sean just sits back like this and says, "I got one more hour to go." Doesn't even move. A lot of people think, is that screen frozen? He goes, "No, that's Atwood. He don't move. He's got the best damn show in the world. Bringing all these people on, does all the work. Pretty near a million people. Doesn't give us a goddamn red cent. Bring in the crazy people. He'll talk to anybody, too. He'll talk to anybody. You can bring somebody in. A person in like a straitjacket, like, Sean will talk to him. I'm saying, Sean, you can't talk to him. He's crazy. I'll talk to him. I'll talk to anybody. Why? Hell, I don't care. Are we near a million yet? Yeah, put them on again. How we doing? Break it up. Hey, Ron, talk that spiritual bullshit to him. Spirits and the goblins and the elves and all that. And there's Sean like this. Sean will get up sometimes. He has a frozen picture. He'll go out and make a sandwich, come back. Nobody misses him. People watch him. I tell people sometimes, say, "Hey, you got to watch that Sean Atwood show." I said, "Now, I know there's that bald-headed feller. He don't talk. Is that him?" I said, "That's Sean Atwood, yeah. That's his show. He don't say nothing." "I know. That's a beautiful part. Don't say nothing." And you think they'd stop dropping him illegal stuff. I said, "What the hell are you suing him for? He's not saying nothing. Get those other people."
You're killing me.
I tell you what.
I'm in pain here in the ribs, Lionel.
And if somebody tune in and say, "Hey, that guy's funny. What are they talking about? Virginia's your friend. What? They're laughing about it." We're not laughing about her, obviously. But it's an incredible thing. I just want to take you the next time. I'm going to take you to some real gut bucket, some redneck goat roper stuff, and let you talk to them. And I'm just going to bring people on and have Ron and them talk to them. Because I love that. That's my favorite. When they do that spiritual stuff, I'll tell you that. Like the good Lord's running, the creek don't rise. Yeah, buddy. Bucket, bucket. Man don't have a sense of pour piss out of a boot or a window to throw it out of. Harder than times of 29. 73rd Street, may your troubles be small. And if you walk them 10 feet tall. Yeah, buddy. I'm on this here Sean Atwood show. Hey, you know, did you ever think about him? Yeah, Sammy the Bull was going to kill him. I swear to God, they're going to kill him. He's some ecstasy ring bullshit. Why did they kill him? I don't know. You look at this guy. Can you imagine that? You know what happened to him? Sammy the Bull. What? Sammy the Bull. They got him where? In Brooklyn? In Phoenix? What the hell is he talking about? Hell, Sean don't understand. And that's legitimate, too. Shit. And you know what Sean always says, too? I talked to him before. Lee Harvey Oswald, I talked to him. Sean, he died, but I talked to him. Oh, the guy who was in the cell? Yeah, I talked to him. Virginia Dufresne, I talked to her. I think he's making this shit up. I talked to him. Well, what episode was that? I don't know. There's so many of them. Somewhere back. Ron, you get that one? Ron will get it back to you. Sometimes Ron makes up, you know, I don't know. I think I talked to him.
We have to put this out as a separate clip across the socials. All right, so back to the serious stuff. You okay to take some questions?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay.
Does the Pope shit in the woods? Damn right. Not anymore.
Is the whole Jeffrey racket an Israeli-run blackmail operation? Do they do similar to celebrities, politicians, people of note?
Could be. How do we know? Better yet, do we do that? Do you do that? If I was the queen, I'd say, can you do me a favor? Yeah. I don't know why the queen would talk like this, but you would understand. If the queen says, come here. Yeah. You're the head of MI6, right? Yeah. Can you tell me why you didn't tell me that my son was fooling around with some guy who was diddling children? Can you maybe somebody here tell me why you knew what he was doing, right? Why didn't you tell me? I would have stopped him. You know, we know how to stop people. I'm the queen of England. You know what I do, right? You know what I could say. Forget that. I've got stuff you've heard. Why didn't somebody tell me that this was going on? Why? And you know, Wills is just like this, because he can't wait to get rid of that Megan first. HR, he can't wait. Because the only reason, by the way, isn't it funny how good Chuck looks? This guy supposedly, remember that he looks terrific. I mean, and Kate, God bless her. I hope she's doing well. But can somebody tell me? And I want to walk in and just ask Chuck and say, what the hell are you people doing? I heard Chuck, he actually has his shoelaces ironed. If you paid more attention to this Dingleberry brother of yours, this wouldn't have happened. Do you need this? Do you need this? I mean, who else is out there? Who else is doing this? I can't believe how the royal family can let Harry and Meghan and this one just lose control of the narrative. What's going on here? This wouldn't have happened with the queen were here. And sure as hell not with Philip, because you know how he gets, that old reptile guy. Remember the guy who says, I can't wait to come back as a virus. That's the guy I want to party with. No, but I mean this. How was this ever allowed to happen in the first place?
Well, do you think it's just the tip of the iceberg and we only know what we know and a lot more has gone on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I love this. Do you think Israel is like, they would be insulted if you didn't think them. They'd be insulted. These are the best. They're thinking, you goddamn right, that's what we do. And more. You have to even ask. They're a spy organization. It's nothing personal. I'm serious. Do people think this is some kind of that the Israelis are dastardly if they did it? Ehud Barak, Dershowitz, Wexner? I mean, do you if I was with Pope, you know, if I was with Bergoglio and the Cardinal and this, and I'm involved in something, and then you ask, do you think maybe the Rome knew something about this? Like, I'm hanging around Cardinals. What do you want? Yes, yes. And people ask this question, you know, because there's this, I'm not saying it's not anti-Semitism, because Israel, I don't think anybody cares about the Jewish faith, but there's this fascination that people have with, do you think it's Israel? Did you just wake up?
Thank you for the super chat, Make the Dream Great Again. I'm not sure what it means. It's cryptic. What button do I push to get Uncle Lionel on prosecution?
Oh, this is one of my good friends. This is his nickname on my channel is Big Dick from Chicago. It's Richard, and he's a good egg. No, that's his. He's a great man.
Thank you.
No, to me though. But if you notice what I'm doing right now, the reason there's nothing better sometimes than in showing the absurdity of something to make the point. And if people laugh, it's I can tell you. that I have had. One case I had, it was an armed robbery case where I had a, we're picking the jury. And I asked this one woman, I said, do you think the police ever make a mistake? Now, I'm defending this guy. And the woman said, and we have very liberal voir dire rules in the old days. And she said, yeah. I said, oh, come on. What is that? What is that? TV? The police don't make a mistake. They got all the time. They make a mistake. I said, they don't make a mistake. They make a mistake. And pretty soon, she was almost basically telling me and guaranteeing me that the police made a mistake in this case, and she haven't heard any evidence yet because I'm challenging her. And we're kind of laughing. Because remember, when you laugh with somebody, you like them. You see, if I brought in somebody that you hated and they told the funniest joke, you wouldn't laugh because you don't like them. Laughing at somebody and pointing out the absurdity is a way of you saying, I recognize this, or I identify with this person. It's a very important thing. Laughter does not mean frivolity. Sometimes you remember things by virtue of a story to show how stupid something is, how ridiculous it is, of how, and I can just go through this and say it in a way of say, and then, but wait, there's more. So the husband is estranged and we don't know anything about it. And then her neck is broken. Wait a minute. What? But wait, it gets better. Alan Dershowitz says, no, she couldn't come to the deposition because she was beaten up so bad. But wait, and then there's a picture of her in a hospital. Is that the picture of her? I don't know. Is that time? But wait, she has an Instagram picture that's, I tell you what, by golly, don't you go driving 100 miles. These cars ain't built. Oh, by the way, my kidneys failed. And I don't have time to live in goodbye, cruel world. Wait a minute, what? By the way? This is the way you remember that. Remember that Instagram thing? She starts off by saying, anybody who tells you that cars are sturdy, you're going to know they're coming. You're going 110 miles an hour. Oh, I forgot to tell you. What was it going to? Oh, yeah. I've got 4 days to live. 4 days, not two, not three, four. I've got complete and urinary, renal failure. And they're going to move me to this hospital. And that's it. And then they had the bus driver who says, I don't have any. I didn't go any. What are you talking about? You killed her. I didn't know. What are you talking about? Don't you think somebody would say, wait a minute, I didn't have anything. Oh, so you're just this bus driver and you happen to almost kill the main witness in Epstein? What are you talking about? I'm in the, no, she hit me. Anyway, nothing happened. No, nobody. It's like the story. If you pitch this as a script, as a script pitch, I'd say, what is this story? Where's it going? There's no A, B, none of it makes any sense. And my wife and I constantly are saying, I don't know. But, and remember, years ago, a physician told me, a friend of mine said, an EEG, you know, brainwave, is the analogy is you're standing outside of a stadium. Imagine you're standing outside of Wembley trying to guess the score by the roar of the crowd. That's what an EEG is. It's like you're approximating. That's what we're doing here. We're reading Daily Mail. What do you got, Sean? I got Daily Mail. I got that one too. Anything else? No. I look and know. I'm going to Grok, Po, this, ChatGPT. What's the latest? Anything. Australia, mum's the word. Nothing from the, I went through the Perth, Adelaide, wherever, just local news. 60 Minutes CBS. You notice that? The best 60 Minutes. They follow people. They're great. Anything from them? They say this case stinks. It stank. They won't touch it.
So, folks, get your questions in for Lionel as we approach the hour.
You okay there, buddy?
Please subscribe to his channel. The link is in the live chat. The link is in the description box if you're watching this on replay. So please, yeah, whatever questions you've got for Lionel, pop them in now. We've got one here that's not on this subject, but I'll give it you anyway.
Even better.
Any thoughts on Shannon Sharpe's legal issues that have been all over the news that Tony Busby is involved in?
I am so glad you brought this up. What an idiot. Have you ever heard Shannon Sharpe? Only I think he took too many blows of the head. You heard him? You ever hear him with cat words? Oh, come on. You know, it's like, okay, good. I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, he's an idiot. I know in our country we have the insanity defense, but he's an idiot. Here's a guy, and even you know this. Don't write down, and this, and I'm kind of old school. I'm kind of an old school, kind of an OG when it comes to this, Sean. Don't write in a text messages, "I want to effing choke you." Don't do that. Now, sometimes you've done that to me on WhatsApp, and we kind of laugh with each other because I know you've been drinking, and that's the way it goes. But aside from that, you're a moron, and you're making millions of dollars, and you pick up some woman in a gym, and you want to buy your fake thanks for the mammaries, and all of a sudden say, "Do you not see what's happening with this? You're 50, she's whatever." I say, "Do you?" It's like, I don't know if you know about this in our country. I keep saying in our country, like I live in Guam or something. But we have Bill Belichick, who was this incredible football NFL coach, the Patriots and Super Bowl wins. He's 73. He's got a 23-year-old girlfriend. Have you seen this story? 23-year-old girl. There's a 50-year difference. 50. And they think it's elder abuse. He was doing an interview, and this guy's got this 23-year-old girlfriend, and somebody asked him, "So, Bill, how did you meet this girl?" And she's in the corner. She goes, no. And they said, "Who's this?" She's 20. You got to see this story. And their friends are worried about him. She's answering his email. You can't believe it. So anyway, so going back to Sharp, his story is, you got Busby. I guess he Busby just sends you, I guess he's doing better. Somebody got 10 mil, right? Supposedly out of this case. I don't know. But why are you writing? When you are an illiterate, why do you feel this sense of right? I've got to write this down. I have this need to write. And they're standing up. I'm a robot. I'm not going to just tell you. No. I'm gonna write this because I'm literate, and I want you to feel the gravity of my words. I want to strangle your hyoid in my. I want to crush your. Yes, I want you to. Why? And then she said, "What about this?" Okay, I was kidding. Come on, haven't you ever texted somebody and said you want to joke? No. This guy's an idiot, and nobody wants. And the thing is, once that stank gets on you, you know how it is. They just don't want to deal with you. They just say, you know what? It's not worth it. And this guy went, and Cat Williams, God bless Cat Williams, who said, "I told you," and Monique, "I told you." Remember that? Oh, come on. Ain't no way. I don't know what that meant, but he would say, no, there are people in, and he called them Illuminati, but boy, they got him real good. I mean, they just set him up, and none of his NFL friends are coming forward, which is like Alec Baldwin. Remember Alec Baldwin with that Russ thing? Anybody come forward? What would have happened? I know I'm changing the subject. Don't think I don't know that. But what if, let's say, Martin Scorsese had done that, or Clint Eastwood? They would have said, "Hey," or Ron Howard. They would say, whoa, wait a minute. This is a movie. This stuff happens. Leave him alone. And he didn't mean to do this. Every now and then, the best plans. We use guns all the time. Sure, he pointed the gun. But with Alec, crickets. Nothing. With his wife, who has intermittent Spanish accent disease. Remember that one? She just has an accent. I mean, it goes away. It's like Madonna has a British accent. It goes away. It just comes and it goes. So you can tell when they leave you alone, you're done. Woody Allen even got a little bit more. You notice how his thing kind of went. And where's Ronan Farrow? Where do these people go? They just all of a sudden, and nobody. If I have a TV show, I told you, I'm going to have an old lady come out with a muumuu or some kind of house coat. And we're going to have a big, like a dry erase board. And we're going to have these little sticky boards. And we're going to put names. Alec Baldwin. And we're going to come back every week and say, let's see what's, oh, look at this, and this. We're just not talking about it anymore. Remember the fellow in Las Vegas? I don't know if you remember this guy, Paddock. He was a sniper, shot all these people up. What happened with that? Do you know the amount of ammunition they found in there? Why did he bring, crate after crate of heavy ammunition? For what? None of it made sense. Nothing. It just never brought it up. Just like it never happened. It is incredible. You can do anything in this country. You can be so obvious. So anyway, so Pam Bondi, you should send somebody up, have Cash Patel say, I'm going there. And then say, hi, guess what? I'm Cash Patel. I'm the head of the FBI. You might have heard of me, you know, J. Edgar Hoover and all that. I went, they told me basically to pound sand. Australia did. How do you like that? Because Trump's not too crazy about these folks because of this crazy leftist woke nonsense. So call them out. I met with this guy, wouldn't talk to me. I said, can I have a copy of the top? She's a key witness in our case. Nothing, no cooperation. You know, this is why conspiracy theories get started, because of this nonsense.
You're getting asked for your thoughts on Bill Clinton's relationship with Jeffrey.
Bill will say, let me tell you, what is this, a signal? What is that, some kind of a signal you're giving me? Is that some Geordie thing you do? You know what this means, don't you? No, I don't know what that means. You know, it's like Italian, eh? Bill Clinton will say, let me show you the people, the list of his friends. Stephen Hawking, Walter Cronkite. I'll go down the list. Oh, yeah. You want to see my pictures? I don't know what you think this is. If you think this is Bohemian Grove or something, it was a resort. People went there. It's always admit it. Say, yeah, I was there. Of course I was there. I was there with this one. You want me to tell you who I was there with? No. Okay. Oh, now you don't like Epstein. You knew who Epstein was the whole time. But now he's a bad guy? Come on.
Right, we're at the hour, Lionel. Thank
you're
you for
frozen.
Coming on.
I think you're frozen, or maybe you're doing that disappearing thing where you just. I say, by the way, if you go in that Sean Atwood, he looks like Baron von Raschke, the wrestler, don't he? Anyway, but if he goes like that to you, shut up. That means something. Sometimes on Florida, they go like this 30 seconds. He went like that. You know why? Because basically, whether this is a turd and under his nose, he basically says, like, I gotta smell it. And that's the way he talks. Now, when he brings Ron in, forget it. It's over with. There are Hindus. There are Hindu shaman, holy men who don't know what the hell the guy's talking about. Not at all. They, believe it or not, I would say at the Pope's funeral, excuse me, I got a special guest. His name is Ron. Hit it. And all of a sudden, what the hell is he? I love him, though. I love him from the heart.
We will see you next time, my friend. Much love and respect. And you
cheer
take
up.
Care.
Cheer up.
Cheerio. Cheerio toodaloo.
All right, buddy. All the best.
Bye-bye. Ta-ta. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. So please support Lionel. Here's his link in the live chat. Send him some love on his channel. We're going to have to put a clip out. I think it was around 40 minutes where that was the most cracked up I've been in months. Wow. Yeah, I do feel like I've released. I've still got tears in my eyes from laughing 20 minutes ago. But, yeah, serious subject, but it's good to have a Lionel crack up from time to time. So tomorrow we've got Juliet Bryant at 1 p.m. UK, Epstein Survivor. Ron's got shows in the evening. And then Saturday night, we've got somebody who's never been on the channel before. Possibly. We're speaking to them right now. That is central to the Epstein case, and it's going to be mind-blowing if this goes through, but I'm not going to say because it always jinxes it. So thanks for tuning in, folks. If you missed this morning stream where I analyzed the note, and you handwriting experts might want to see the note. I'll put it on the screen. There it is. If you missed this morning's episode where I analyzed, where we looked at the note and we also talked about the broken neck, and we also talked about Jimmy Dore's theory, and I think we're going to go see him when he comes to the UK in June, then this video will send you over to that one next. Otherwise, I will see some of you tomorrow for Juliet Bryant at 1 p.m. UK. She was with Epstein and Maxwell for 2 years.
Hi there. My name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever. but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.